Good morning. That was wonderful to have the graduates with us this morning and to be able to honor them. We think about graduation and we think about hope. We think about what they're looking forward to. As our brother Ron mentioned, sometimes when we have a graduate, we might talk to them and find out that they're a little bit of anxiety involved with that. But even with the anxiety, there's a hopefulness. There's a looking to the future. There's an expectation about what is before us. This morning, we would like to consider the subject, "There is Hope in Your Future." And as I share this morning, I'm talking about you, but even more so, I'm talking about our children. I'm going to ask you if you have your Bible to turn to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to jump into the Christmas story. Merry Christmas, by the way. I'm going to add that to it. Merry Christmas. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to be getting on the tail end of what we normally look at as the Christmas story. And here we're going to read about the time when the Lord Jesus, as a baby, after having been taken to Egypt by Joseph and Mary, it was time to come back. But before that, we're going to see what sent them to Egypt. Let's begin, if we could, at verse 13. Of Matthew chapter 2. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I call my son.' Then Herod, when he saw he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more.'" There is hope in your future. That might seem a strange passage to read, to talk about something like hope regarding children. But I want us to look at three things regarding hope for our children this morning. And the first is the area of lacking hope for our children. We just read about that in some sense here in Matthew 2. Herod, the king of that area, had ordered the murder of all Jewish boys in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas that were 2 years old or less. Here you see a map. In red there is Ramah, and you see its relationship geographically to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And Ramah was a small town that in the Old Testament we find mentioned several times. We're going to see it again in just a moment, but for now, as we think about this voice heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel is the one that is mentioned as weeping. Rachel was the wife of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, the father of his 12 sons, who each had a tribe follow after them, known as the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Rachel had two sons. The older was Joseph, the younger was Benjamin. Ramah is in the area, the tribal area of Benjamin. And here at this point in time that we are reading about this morning, we can understand why Rachel symbolically and figuratively in the persons of the people of Israel, particularly the mothers and fathers, but not only the mothers and fathers, the grandparents, the uncles, the aunts, the neighbors, those in that area, those who heard about it, that these children were being slaughtered, and they lamented and they cried and they wept. Why? Because their children were no more. They had died. They had been murdered. Well, this was a fulfillment of a prophecy of Jeremiah some 600 years earlier. And I'm going to read, you're welcome to turn there if you would like, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 31. Because the context of what we find in Jeremiah 31 also helps us to understand the lack of hope, not only in what we understand as the first century, but back 600 years before the fulfillment that we just read concerning the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And here in Jeremiah 31, we find the context for when this prophecy was originally given. At this point in Jeremiah's life, he is being used of God to foretell a difficult time ahead for the Jewish people. Over 100 years earlier, the 10 northern tribes, which had separated themselves from the 2 southern tribes, those 10 northern tribes had been taken into captivity by the Assyrian kingdom. And at that time, not only were they taken captive, but it was at the cost of many lives, including the lives of children as well as adults. And now Jeremiah, as he's in the city of Jerusalem, he is hearing from God that the Babylonian Empire is going to come and going to take away the Jewish people, take them into exile, away from this land that was so precious to them, a land that had been promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, their forefathers, and that they had received. But they had wasted their opportunity there. They had followed after idols and false gods. And there was going to be again a great slaughter. There was going to be again a great loss of life of adults and also children. And notice here in verse 15, what the Lord says regarding the people of Israel. Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Death, captivity, exile. The children would be no more. Well, an application to us. A lack of hope for our children. We step back, and I'm not talking about just your own flesh and blood, son and or daughter, singular or plural. I'm talking about all of the children. Because Jesus loves the little children. He loves the little children of the world, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in His sight. And that's not just a song, that's a reality from the Word of God. And those children, though not primarily maybe our responsibility, and yet the Lord loves them. And yet as we look around objectively, we see that there may be a lack of hope. A lack of hope. And that should concern us because they are our children. They are our children. And because in so many cases they are, as Jeremiah puts it here, by the Spirit of God, just as it was in that day, 600 years before the Lord Jesus, and it was in the day of the Lord Jesus there in Bethlehem, they were no more. And around our world today, in places like Syria and places like Iraq, there are lost generations, and the children are no more in certain areas. But it's not just the Middle East, and it's not just somewhere else, but it's right here in our own country. Maybe it's more figurative in the way that we would speak it. But for us, our children, oftentimes, it seems that there will be no future for them. There will be no hope for so many of the children. Many children today living in poverty, 20% of children in the United States today, one out of every five live in below the poverty level that the federal government has set. 16 million children, that's a lot different than 20% in our minds, isn't it? 16 million children living in households making less than $23,500 a year for a family of four, and another 22% in families just above the poverty level but still considered low income. But it's not just those children who are growing up in difficult circumstances financially. It's all the children of our nation. Growing up as we see our nation drifting, its moral compass, not just drifting, and that's a poor choice of words, I think, at this point in our history, but turning in a sudden move and going headlong away from the teaching of the Word of God. As we see more and more people identifying themselves, ironically, as nuns, N-O-N-E-S, that they have no religious affiliation. If they have to check it off on a box or answer on a survey, what religious group would you be associated with? More and more, in the area of 20% in the United States of America, would check none. And with no moral absolute, with no standard, our nation is drifting away from what God has said we should follow. And we have children growing up in that environment. Children whose philosophy is being shaped by this world. And that's always been true. But even more so now in our own nation as we see ourselves drifting away. I'm concerned about these children, and I believe you are too. And oftentimes we lack hope for them because they are victims. Victims in the sense that they are not choosing where they live. They are not choosing the circumstances in which they grow up. It's not a child's fault that he or she is brought up in poverty or is being mistreated or isn't loved or has terrible role models in the home. The parent's choice may or may not be the cause, but it's not the child's fault. It's not the child's fault that decisions are being made that are impacting and determining the cultural values to which he or she is exposed. I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus telling a story in Matthew chapter 18 about a man who had a great debt to his master. And the master began to settle the accounts in Matthew chapter 18. And this man was brought to him. He owed to him 10,000 talents, an exorbitant sum. And the Lord Jesus said, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold and his wife and his children and all that he had, that payment may be made. You see, those children of that man, they had done nothing to deserve that, but because of their victim perspective, they were going to be sold. Now, I'm not saying that children are not responsible for their actions. They are. I'm not saying that children don't have to give an account to authority in this world and in heaven. Yes, they do. But we see the victimization of so many children, even those recorded in Matthew 27, when Pilate said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, speaking of the Lord Jesus. And all the people answered, and what did they say? His blood be on us and on our children. It was not a choice the children made. It was a choice forced upon them. A lacking hope for our children. Here's a principle that we can take away from that. This world in which we live, no matter how good or how bad, it offers no true and lasting hope for our children or for us. We won't find it in this world system. lacking hope for our children. But we don't want to stay there. We want to move ahead to the second thing concerning hope that I would like to mention this morning, and that's hearing hope for our children. Hearing hope for our children. Continue to look with me here in Jeremiah chapter 31. And in verse 16, after God had said through Jeremiah that there would be great weeping and lamentation and a refusal to be comforted because they are no more. Look at verse 16. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping. And your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. You see, God Himself spoke into the sorrow. And He spoke words of hope. There is hope for your children. You see, He had promised, and Jeremiah recorded in his prophecy that after 70 years of exile, the nation of Israel would come back. And there in Matthew 2, we read that Herod died. You see, there was hope spoken into that generation. And God has spoken hope into this generation in which we live. Because of the child of Matthew 2, there is hope in our future and hope in the future of our children. With the Lord, there is always hope. Because the life of the Lord Jesus, as a young child, was spared so that 30-some years later, He might willingly give His life. There is hope for our future. The God of hope. You see, hope is a person. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 12, we read Paul using the prophecy of Isaiah. And he says, as Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. And not just a promise to the Jewish nation that one was coming to be their deliverer if they would receive him, but also to the non-Jews. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul calls the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. And hope is communicated to us through good news, the gospel. Can I very quickly just share with you, again, afresh for your ears, the gospel message, not only for children, but for adults. But yes, for children. And this is the message of hope that comes through a person, that comes through a message. I want to just sum it up in three words. The first is sin. Sin is iniquity. Sin, we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, that sin is lawlessness. Sin is rejecting the law of God. Sin is breaking the law of God. As we often tell the children, a sin is anything that we think, say, or do that breaks God's law. And sin divides. Sin separates us from God. We read in Isaiah 59 in verse 2, your iniquities have separated you from your God. And sin results in death. Romans 6:23 tells us very clearly that the wages of sin is death. What we earn for sinning, for breaking God's law, is death. There's a first death, a physical death, but the Bible tells us of a second death, a spiritual death. An eternal separation from God in the lake of fire rather than heaven. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. The Lord Jesus went to heaven. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You see, heaven was prepared for us. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But those who refuse to come God's way will experience not only the first death, but the second death. And that's the default for children and adults, dead in trespasses and sins, without a true connection to God, with no hope in the world. The second word is self. You see, we've got to make this personal for the children and for us. The problem is all of us individually have been infected with sin. All have sinned, Romans 3:23 says, and have come short of the glory of God. Every child, every teenager, every graduate, every adult has sinned. We've all been infected by what we might see as a disease. And because of that disease, we've all been affected. We are helpless. We are hopeless in ourselves. All our good deeds, our righteous attempts to please God that He might let us into His presence, they're as filthy rags, God tells us through Isaiah. But praise God for that third word, that Savior. That's the Lord Jesus. He is the only one qualified because He is God in human flesh. The boy that we read about in Matthew 2 is God the Son, become a human being and yet continuing to be God as He eternally has been and eternally will be. And He came and lived a perfect, sinless life, the only one qualified to deliver us. And the only way He could do that was to take the punishment that we deserve, the punishment of death. And He did that. And He's the only one successful. And many have tried many other ways to reach God, but there's only one way. And the Lord Jesus said that He is that one way. He is the truth. He is the life. And it's only the one who came and went to the cross and suffered and bled and died for our sins. And also who was raised from the dead. You see, that's how we know He was successful. God raised Him from the dead. And we have now the Savior. There's one other word. I forgot to tell you. There was a fourth one, didn't I? It's so. So what is your response? What is the response of the child? What is your response? There are two responses we can have. One is to receive the gift. By receiving the Lord Jesus, it cannot be earned. It's not of works. It's a gift. It's by faith. It's by the grace of God. But the other option is to reject. And there are many today who have not yet heard the message. There are many who are going on their way believing a false message, that they can be good enough to reach God, that they can turn over a new leaf or change their lives or try to keep the Ten Commandments. But none of those things are effective for reaching God, because we're all sinners, we're all guilty. So we have a good message, and here's the principle, and that's to be listening for God's message, not the world's, regarding our children. There is hope. There is hope for our children. And as we look around the world today, we look around our communities today, we look around our nation today, and we may say, you know what? What is it going to be like when my child, when my grandchild, when my great-grandchild grows up? What kind of world are they going to be experiencing? I can't imagine it. There's no hope. There is hope. God says there's hope. There is hope. And it's in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that brings us to the third and last point. Engaging hope for our children. We may lack hope in many ways, but we can hear hope from God. But you know what? We have in our hands the hope, the message that can change the trajectory of the lives of children. Their circumstances may not change. Maybe in the long run they will. Maybe in the short run they will. But the important thing is that their eternal destiny and that their hope in this life for the reality of purpose will be found in the Lord Jesus. But this message must be shared. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Let them come to me. Do not stand in the way. But can I also suggest this thought? It's not enough just to say, "I won't get in the way." If I've got the message, if I've got the hope in my hands, do I have a responsibility to not only keep from getting in the way of getting them to the Lord Jesus, do I have the responsibility of helping them come to the Lord Jesus? Of doing what is available to me to bring them to the Savior? This message must be communicated. It must be communicated verbally. Romans chapter 10 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They must hear the Word of God. And the feet of those who bring the message, how precious are they? How lovely are they? How beautiful are the feet who bring the message in their hands, the gospel, the good news that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day and was seen. But can I suggest that it should also be communicated visually? The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 3 that you can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. You can see the effect of the wind. And how children should be able, from all walks of life, wherever we encounter them, to look at our lives and be able to see the change that is made in a life when someone comes to God as a sinner, humble, broken, recognizing our own hopelessness and helplessness, and receive the Lord Jesus as Savior. And our lives are made new. And that should make a difference. There are some ways to engage. I'd like to mention some that this local church is involved in. First of all, through our Sunday school. Children just got up from here and they left and they went out and they're sitting in classrooms right now, and teachers who have prepared and who have prayed and who have studied the Word of God are sharing with them the truths of God's Word right now. During the school year, we have our Mountain Movers Sunday evening children's program that goes on every Sunday night. We have a honeybee program for the three and four-year-olds. And this summer, we have the Summer Kids Club. I've got that in bold there because we still have some open slots. You could help. You could be one who didn't forbid the children to come to the Lord Jesus, but rather you opened your hands of hope and said, I'll take the children for an hour. I'll tell them about the Lord Jesus. You might say, I need some help. I need some direction. We'll help you that with that. We'll provide for you. The Sunday school needs help. The van ministry. Every Sunday morning, people get up at the end of the Lord's Supper, and they head out and they pray, and then they go out into the communities and they bring in children. Here's a few of them in one of the vans that goes out. And they bring in children who otherwise would not be able to come here and be exposed to our Sunday school and be exposed to the singing and to be able to watch you and to see your life and to see that you're different because you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This ministry branches off into mentoring opportunities and discipleship groups, and those are going on now. Maybe God would have you to help with this. They need people to drive the vans. They need people to ride on the vans. They need people to volunteer to help. There's also our Vacation Bible School that's coming up next month. Help is needed as we have the opportunity to reach so many children. So many children from this community, but from surrounding communities and all over Greensboro and beyond, as people bring them in, as you invite them, as you encourage them to come. There's so many needs within the Bible school, teaching and helping, working with crafts and refreshments. Could it be that God is calling you to open up your hands of hope? And to provide for boys and girls who need to hear the message, who need hope spoken into their lives. And you can be that instrument of God. The Mountaintop Youth Camp and other camps, but Mountaintop, the one that we are so involved in here in this local assembly, and is starting this very day, this afternoon. The first week of camp will be going on. The first week of summer camp. They've already had 2 weeks, but the first week of summer camp. What an opportunity for boys and girls to go up there and to have hope spoken into their lives by the Lord, the one who is hope, to hear the gospel message as counselors, sit down with them and share the gospel, as speakers, share the good news of Jesus Christ, as the staff workers, model before them what it means to be a servant because your life has been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great privilege, what a great ministry. The work of camp, pointing the direction to boys and girls and young people. And then another way that we've been able to be involved in this year, C4K, Christ for Kids. An army of volunteers from this local church have been able to go into Jones Elementary every Thursday. And it's not only Jones Elementary. As I go through these pictures, you'll see several others that people in this local assembly have been involved with. There are five kids, Christ for Kids Club. Paul and Lauren Yotis, who started this club out of their own hearts and burdens and home, are with us this morning. And they've come here to celebrate with us what God has done through this ministry. Ms. Brown, the principal at Jones, and her husband, Eric, and Ms. Dye, the assistant principal, and her husband, Jim, are here with us this morning to celebrate. And we want to thank you, ladies, for not forbidding children to come to the Lord Jesus. Thank you for opening the doors and opening your hearts and opening your arms to allow us to come in. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. We've got a couple of hanging baskets for you ladies. We'll get them to you later. They're up here. But we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to go in and after school to present the good news of Jesus Christ to children who need hope, who need to hear the good news, who need to know that Jesus loves them, who needs to know that there are other people in addition to their teachers and the administration and hopefully in their homes where they're receiving love, an opportunity to sit down with a child and hold the child on your lap and say, Jesus loves you, and to show them that as they hear the gospel and as they see the gospel and as they experience and as they learn the opportunity to point people, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus. What a great privilege. What a great opportunity God has given us. Prayer is so important. How thankful we are. And maybe you'd like to be involved next year. Pray about the situation there at Jones. Mrs. Brown is moving on. There'll be another principal. We need to pray that the heart of this new principal will be open, that we'll be able to go back in there if it's the Lord's will. Education. As we come out of that and think about that, the Career Academy is a ministry for high school boys who need a transitional alternative to the regular school, that they might be helped on a different level. This is not a Christian program, but there are a number of individuals from this local assembly that are involved in mentoring and tutoring in that program, being a light, showing boys and young men the difference that Jesus Christ makes in your life. Hope Academy is also here locally in the Glenwood community. The same thing is going on. This is a Christian private school. The Guilford County Schools. We have teachers here, Holly and Joseph and others, and there are others who are involved in the school system, though you may not be a teacher. And what an opportunity, again, to share the good news of Jesus Christ by your life, though you may not be able to be as outward as you would like to be. Pray for the teachers. And there's opportunities for tutoring. There's opportunities for mentoring that opens up doors, that allows you to respond to questions that the children might make. Our son Josh is here. Harvey's sick, so Danielle couldn't make it this morning, or Verity. But they're involved in a program called the Memphis Teacher Residency out in Memphis, where Christians come in and are trained in urban education to go into the public schools in order to seek to reflect the Lord Jesus and to give an opportunity for a quality education to children that may not otherwise get it. I would love to see that M change to a G. The Greensboro Teacher Residency. Maybe God will do that one day and allow us to be a part of the school system here. Ways to engage, ways to open our hands for others. I want to mention a couple of other ways that can be done, that is being done through this assembly, but it could be done a lot more through this assembly. Lewis and Sarah Sanabria have stepped forward, and they've been fostering children for several years now. And they've had a number of children. We've had other families in the past who have done that, but at present they're doing that, and they're hoping to adopt, but they're having an opportunity, and maybe God wants you to open your hands of hope, that you might foster. And then there are those families that have adopted. The Autrys, getting little Emma from Kazakhstan. And the Allen family, going to China 6 times to adopt their children there. Going to get Shannon and Susie and Sean and John and Sasha and William. These are examples for us. And maybe God is calling more of us to be involved, not only in international adoption, but maybe local adoption. Maybe that's what God is seeking to do. And with all of these ministries, there are obviously financial needs. We don't say a lot about money here, but we know there are needs. And many of you are giving toward many of these ministries and individuals. And maybe there are others that God would put on your heart that you would pray, that you would give a word of encouragement to those who are involved in some of these direct engagements with children. Maybe your own neighborhood. Maybe God is speaking to you this morning about the truth that you have hope. You have the reality of Christ in your own life if you've received Him as your Savior. And you want to share that, and you're thinking about kids in your own neighborhood. Maybe there are other ways that you can engage them. A Child Evangelism Fellowship does clubs in the neighborhoods. A 5-day club this summer. We can get you in touch with the folks who were involved in that and other children's ministries. And wherever God leads you, He may lead you in a way that I hadn't even thought about, a way that this local church is not yet involved. And maybe there are other ways that I haven't mentioned this morning. But here's a principle. To engage the hope in your hands requires getting your hands dirty. We don't know when the Lord Jesus is coming back. Maybe today. He may give us more time. We don't know when He's returning. But we've seen recently in the book of Luke, and we'll get back to that study soon, but we've seen that He said, "Do business till I come." And part of that doing business may involve children. And we've got to get our hands dirty. We've got to get down where the kids are. And they're playing in the dirt a lot of times. We've got to get down there with them and show our love to them. There is hope in your future. Hope for children. The God of hope is already in the future. We may be weeping as we look around and see what is going on around us, and we see the awful predicament of many children in our own city as well as around the world. And our hearts may grieve, and we may lament and weep, but let's don't despair. Let's don't despair, because we have the message of hope that can implant true and lasting hope in the life of a child. Communicate that verbally. Communicate that visually. Support those individuals and those ministries who are actively communicating and in these ways. Pray for open doors. Pray for our own mouths to be open. And pray for open hearts. Our hearts, but the hearts of children. Because not every child who hears the gospel is going to respond in a positive way. Not everyone is going to receive the good news and accept the Lord Jesus. But we're going to pray for them. And we're going to reach out for them. And we're going to care for them. The children growing up to parents in this local church. But beyond that, they're our children. Might we see them like that? Jesus loves the little children of the world. If He loves them, I ought to love them, right? I need to love what He loved and hate what He hates. So that's my encouragement to you this morning. There's hope in your future if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you don't, I'd love to talk with you about that. If you'd like to get more involved in some way in reaching out to children with the gospel, I'd love to talk with you about that. And there are many others here who would love to do that as well. Thank you for your time, your attention, your openness, and we'll close our time together in prayer. Father, we give You thanks. We thank You, Lord, for who You are, and we praise You that You care that you love us, that you're gracious. And Father, we thank you for the hope that many of us have found in the person of the Lord Jesus, the one who died on what seemed like a hope-ending day, but what in reality was ushering in the only hope that is eternal, a hope that never ends, the sure, confident expectation of a relationship with you through your Son who died for us, took our sin upon Himself, bore our punishment in His own body on the tree. Father, we thank you for your love, not only for children, but for adults. Father, may we have a heart that cares, a heart that wants to reach out. Give us creativity. Give us wisdom. Give us endurance. Father, give us a sense of the urgency of the time and the urgency of the situation. And Father, we pray for every child in this world today that you will give them the opportunity to hear and see the gospel, that we might be a part of that, if it be your will. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. You just meditate on this for a moment as our brother plays.